From the Macomb Library for the Blind, welcome to our podcast, Change in Vision, Change in Attitude, where we talk about ways people, both sighted and visually impaired, can successfully adjust to vision loss. And this is Barbara Shipman, a librarian here at Macomb Library for the Blind, and next to me is Sharon.
Hi, Barb.
Hi, Sharon.
We're back again for another episode.
I know. Can you believe that?
We had so much fun the last time. We just decided to do it again, and here we are.
Here we are with episode two, where our topic for today is safety and security. So we're going to cover safety and security in the home, online, since the majority of us are doing online shopping and online banking and social media, and also in the public. So I'm going to start out by asking Sharon a question about safety and security in the home. So what are some of the safety and security measures, Sharon, that people with vision impairment can do to protect themselves?
Well, Barb, as we were talking about before, as we were planning this episode, we were talking about what are the factors, what are the features, what are the sort of things that you need to look at and really consider when you're considering security, personal safety within your own home. And I think it's a little bit different depending on if you're living on your own or if you're living with another sighted person or another blind person. It was interesting because we've talked about basically we spent a lot of time talking about the whole process of letting someone into your house. And so being careful about who comes into your house, but even before that, knowing who's at your door. So we talked about the whole is a little scary for those who can't see, because it's sort of this thought comes into your mind like, well, wait a minute, I didn't think anybody was coming over today, so who is that at my door? So now we've got this whole process. Is it, you know, somebody who's just dropping in? It's a neighbor who wants to drop something off. There's a package being dropped off. We don't know. How would we know, right? So there are all sorts of devices and products that are out there now that help us with that identification. Sometimes a simple intercom is all you need. You know, you press the button, hi, who's there? They answer you or they don't. My favorite is when they ring the buzzer and I hit, you know, the button on my end and I say hello and there's nobody there because the UPS driver has already walked away. So it's that doesn't help. But we talked, you know, Barb, you and I talked about some of the smart devices that are out there right now and that a lot of people are starting to pick up on, especially with the growth of the whole Alexa, Echo, whoever that is now. And I wanted you to tell them the story about what happened with your daughter and the package that was delivered.
Yeah, so I've been ordering a lot of stuff from Amazon because it was my daughter's birthday, so that was like the most convenient way to shop for birthday items. And I was away at work when my daughter, she was at home with her dad, and she noticed we have an Echo in our kitchen, and usually it's set to a purplish blue light when she's on. And then my daughter noticed as she was walking into the kitchen that the light had turned yellow, and she's never seen it turn yellow before. And so she, I guess, was smart enough to ask Alexa, you know, what does that yellow light stand for? And so Alexa responded saying it was a notification that a package has been delivered and it's on the front porch. And luckily, you know, Echoes are Amazon products. And since I ordered something from Amazon, Amazon connected to my Echo device and it turns yellow to notify the owners that a package has been delivered. And normally I would get an email from Amazon or from the delivery company, either UPS or FedEx, saying that a package has been delivered. But this time they sent the notification to the Echo device, and luckily my daughter was aware enough to ask Alexa what that was about, because I don't think I would have, you know, been that aware. right.
of the wear,
right.
of the change in light.
And, you know, and I remember when we were first talking about it, then it came to mind that there are so many different products out there now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Alexa, for instance, is very popular. There's another one called Nest that's pretty popular right now. But we were not always sure. In fact, we even went online and started looking at some of these products. You weren't always sure if you could get an audio mm-hmm. notification. Mm-hmm. And that was a bit of a concern. Mm-hmm. So like if you're in a sighted household, you might not, or you might know more about what's going on because you have the visual cues. If we're not getting it, if we don't know who's you know at the door, we don't let them in. We just don't do it. Doorbell, as they call it, I guess. You can see who's there, but you have to make sure as you're buying a product like this that there's also an option where you can have communication with them while they're standing on your front porch. I think the other thing that I like to tell people is if you are going to come over, you got to let me know when you're on your way. Mm-hmm. Let me know, you know, where you're at. Mm-hmm. Just don't arrive.
Yeah, and I think it's the same for sighted people too, because mm-hmm. it's odd that nowadays to hear somebody knock on your door, that's such a odd sound mm. because with the popularity of, you know, smartphones and mm-hmm. being able to communicate people without actually speaking with them, like you mentioned, Sharon, they usually text you and say, mm-hmm. hey, I'm going to be coming over in 10 minutes. Yeah. You could be home.
On my way.
There rarely is any surprise visits unless mm-hmm. it's from it's from a solicitor. Mm-hmm. So, so it's very different, I think, nowadays to get that knock on the door. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and not expect it and not know yep. who it is
yep.
unless you know look out the window as a sighted person. Yep. But for those with vision impairment, I know that can be quite challenging.
And so we're just being more careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so those are great examples of what you can do to protect your home or to make you feel safe and secure in your home mm-hmm. by purchasing these smart home devices. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the basic and low-cost items mm-hmm. that people with vision impairment can purchase or use who don't have a smart device mm-hmm. or who don't have, you know, a computer or mm-hmm. Wi-Fi?
The high-techy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, something as simple as... Something as simple as putting up solar lights along the pathway that you're going to travel to get to your door helps a lot if you have low vision. The other thing that I've recently installed is it's a lock. What do I call it? It's not a digital lock? I guess it's like a digital, but you know, you press buttons. It's a code. It's a coded lock. Mm-hmm. So I don't use a key. So as when I close my door, it automatically locks. Mm. So I could be going down to the mailbox or over to visit the neighbor or whatever, and the door is automatically locked. And when I come back in, all I do is press the code and it opens back up again and no issues.
Yeah.
Of course, there is a key. You can use a key entry mm-hmm. as well, but mm-hmm. that's, I think, a little bit. And I've heard of people use to just allow that extra little bit of safety. You don't have to worry about, did I lock my door? No, it automatically closes and locks, mm-hmm. and you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
So,
or if you leave a key in the house, which I've done before, you don't have to climb in through the window to
remember those days.
Which I've done.
Uh huh.
You do.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so those are great example of just mm-hmm. you know, basic and low-cost items that you can purchase for your home. So let's talk about the big one here, which is online.
Mm.
We're using online a lot, Sharon, mm-hmm. to shop, to do banking, and to stay connected yes. with our family and friends. But there is a dark side to mm-hmm. doing things online. And
That's
so what can people with vision impairment do to protect themselves from
the dark side?
The dark side.
Don't go into the dark side. Well, you know, you're talking about online. So where do you mm-hmm. want to go first? Do you want to go with the shopping?
Let's
or the
do shopping. Yeah.
Do shopping
Let's
first?
Do shopping.
Okay. online. So where do you want to go first? Do you want to go with the shopping
or
the...
Let's do shopping.
Yeah. Shopping first?
Let's do shopping.
Okay. So you'll hear this a lot from your friends, whether they're sighted or not. Oh, I always shop online. I just go to Amazon and buy things out there. Or I go to Home Depot and just order from there. So it is really popular. I think you need to know, you know, since we always are comparing the high tech and the low tech, you do need to know, for instance, that on Amazon, you can, once you do set up an account, you can, there is a number you can call. There's an accessibility number that you can call, and they will help you with the shopping online. That's a convenience. But, you know, anytime you go online, you're really basically putting yourself out there in terms of providing information to the internet. Whether it's good or bad, or whether somebody's going to use it against you or not, or for, you know, for the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are out there, things that we really talked about in the beginning were, you know, many times you go online and you purchase something, and the next thing you know, you start getting all kinds of emails from all sorts of companies for all sorts of kind of advertising that is sort of related to what you just bought. So we are always advising people, when you get emails, you do not tap the link in the email that's going to send you to the store or the bank or the wherever. If you want to go to do your banking, if you want to go do your shopping, you go directly to their website, because at that point you've got all kinds of security in place in terms of passwords, questions, security questions, you know, that sort of thing. But when we were talking, Barb, you were telling me that, you know, when you use emails, mm-hmm. it's easy for you to tell at a glance that you're not even gonna open it.
No, not even. Just by looking at who sent it, mm-hmm. and the subject heading of the message,
okay.
of the email, I can tell just by looking at those two things that mm-hmm. this is something that I should not open. I'm just going to go ahead and delete it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I know that it could be challenging for those with visual impairment to see it right away.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because you have to read it. You have
right,
to read everything.
Right,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. You use your screen reader mm-hmm. to read it, and then you have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just really explore it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being more careful with opening emails.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's online shopping. How about online banking? I know that's becoming widely used mm-hmm. as well. And I know that using your phone to connect with to check your bank account, you know, mm-hmm. how much money you have in there, if you want to make withdrawals. I know that was a big thing. But now with online, I think it makes it a little bit easier. But then people are still kind of wary about using it, too, mm-hmm. about checking their account, accessing their, you know, bank account online, entering those, mm-hmm. you know, account numbers, too.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the pros and cons?
The pros and cons of going online to do your banking?
Yeah.
What I have found, and I generally use my computer a lot of the time. Initially, what I am finding is that in terms of just the way the websites are set up, as opposed to the apps that you can have on your phones, the apps, like I say, looking up your, you know, your balance, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you go online, if the website is not really set up correctly for screen readers, then you're bouncing all over this page trying to figure out where things are and what and how it works, and that's where sometimes you can just make some honest mistakes in terms of the amounts that you're putting in or just anything like that. But what I use are the apps, you know, for my banking. And I was also telling you before about any time I make any kind of transaction on my banking, I also get a confirmation email that says, okay, you know, your credit card was used.
Mm-hmm.
Your your credit card was used, mm-hmm. either online or in a store or whatever. So I'm always getting a double check. There's always some kind of a backup that tells me, mm-hmm. you know, what's going on. But I tell you what, most of the people that I talk to who are totally blind do not use that. They will go online, not online, I'm sorry, they will go on the phone and just use the automatic or automated systems on the phone to do the same thing that they would be doing on an app in terms of, you know, checking the deposit, checking the withdrawals, checking the, you know, just the balance of their accounts. And they feel more secure that way. They still have to put a code in and all that stuff, but they just feel that it's easier to do and less likely to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I see people doing that a lot now.
Yeah. Switch over to online banking?
No, I think if they're comfortable with what they're doing, you know,
just stick with
what you're comfortable with.
Okay.
I'm more comfortable with an app mm-hmm. right now mm-hmm. Than I am with the phone, mm-hmm. oddly enough. So the other thing that we were talking about is, and I don't know if you want to go there now, about you were talking about banking online, but there's even some security things to do when you're out in public mm-hmm. and doing financial transactions of any kind, whether you're shopping or at the bank. So we can go on into that a little bit later.
We definitely will. But before we do so, mm-hmm. we have to talk about social media.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I think everybody that I know, from great grandmas to young children, mm-hmm, they mm-hmm. do have access to social media one way or another. And one big one is, of course, Facebook. Mm-hmm. Social media one way or another. And one big one is, of course, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on there. Sharon, I know you're on there.
Yep.
And we share so
we're
much.
We're friends.
Yes, we are friends.
We're friends
we just
on
became
Facebook.
Friends. And yes. I got to see Sharon's vacation photos, which are really nice. And so we like to share. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to share on these social media platforms.
Mm-hmm.
But like online shopping, there is a dark side to it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, there can be.
Okay. So what do we have to look out for?
Well, it's fun and it's interesting that you brought that up as an example. Because I had been on Facebook for a while and then I sort of got away from it because it just became tedious, I guess. But the thought did occur to me that, okay, I'm out of the state, I'm in a whole different area of the country, and I'm with family members who are also posting on Facebook. So now all the people who are my friends know that I'm now in South Carolina, right? As well as all of my daughter's friends know that I am in South Carolina because there's pictures of me in South Carolina with her. So you see how it sort of multiplies and lots of people that you don't even know, or that I don't even know, know where I'm at. They actually even know what beach I'm on, and there's actually a map included that has a little pinpoint that tells you exactly where I am at, and I didn't even post that. Okay? So it can be, it's an invasion of privacy in some ways, because if you're with someone, they can just add you to their sort of their information. You know, I went to lunch with my mom and we're at such and such restaurant, and my friends know this as well. So there's always this rule of thumb about putting things out there. And that is, excuse me, that is, it's like if you put something out there, you wouldn't want to put anything out there that somebody is not going to sit there and discuss the next morning over coffee. Any information that you put out there is going to be talked about, explored, and again, you lose your privacy. When you lose your privacy, you can also lose your security at the same time. And so it felt uncomfortable to me, because again, I hadn't used it in a while, and then that's where my thinking went afterwards. It's like, wow. Mm-hmm. It's not just me. Mm-hmm. It's my family. It's my friends. It's her family. Her friends.
Yeah. And once
and
you
the in-laws people, and you know.
Yeah. And once you
put people, and you know.
Yeah. And once you put that in perspective, you kind of you know sit back and think to yourself, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people have access to this, to my photos, mm-hmm. to this, you know, a family vacation that I'm taking, that I'm sharing it with other people. I don't know if I really want to do that. Mm-hmm. And I know that when I post something on Facebook, mm-hmm. a photo, mm-hmm. or I mention something that I'm doing, or checked in at a restaurant, or I'm on mm-hmm. vacation, and it's funny to me when I come back home that people mention it to me, and yes. I totally forgot. I'm like, yes. Well, how did you know? How did you know I was in New York City on such yes. and such date? And I think, and I realize, oh, yes, because I posted that photo. So,
yeah. I have to tell you a story, too, that we were, again, I was on vacation, and I was watching my daughter take a picture of her kids, but I am way in the even part of this picture. And somebody posted, after seeing the picture, boy, that's a really cute hat. And I'm thinking, what? How did you know? So you know what I'm saying? It's pretty tricky now, and it's a little scary, mm-hmm. I think.
I think so. Yeah, not that you explained it that way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a little bit more mindful in what I post on there. And I like your point about don't post anything that you don't want somebody to talk about. You know, the next day, either at work or your social circle or in the community.
It's your own business.
That's right. You got to You got to keep some things
it's your
private.
Business. Right.
Yeah. All right. So now that wraps up our personal safety in the home, online. We forgot shopping in public.
Shopping
so this is outside
in
the home.
Person.
Yes. So we're going to talk about outside.
Yes.
Outside
in
the
person.
Home. Yes. So we're going to talk about outside.
Yes.
Yeah, the home safety and security.
Yep. And you know what? There's a lot of things that are just obvious, right? About, you know, you are mindful of where your bag is, where your wallet is. You know, you're keeping it in a safe place where you know, somebody's not going to just be able to pull it out of the bag or the pocket or whatever. I think the part where, at least in my opinion, the part where we have some issues, some difficulties, is right at the cashier's counter. And if you have been shopping lately, those of us who can't see very well, you know that when you walk up to the cashier, they got that crazy little, what do you call that thing though? That you swipe your
I don't know what
your
they
credit
call
card.
It. It's that little black box with buttons on it.
Yeah,
and just,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got this little black box with buttons on it that, and the buttons in the same place. And on this one, you stick your card over here, and this other one, you stick your card over there.
And swipe it.
And you're swiping it, and then you're hitting a button, mm-hmm. and then you're doing, okay, so, and it's a touch screen, and wow, mm-hmm. you know. Now, you know, what are we touching? You know, are we using a credit card, a debit card? Do we hit the right button? All that stuff. Okay, so so now you're going to rely on the person next to you or the cashier or the person that you're with or whatever to make this transaction for you, unless you're going to pay cash, okay? But now you're walking around with cash. And so if you are going to use cash, those of you who do have the visual impairment, you know how all about folding your bills, folding your money so that you know what denomination it is and all that stuff. So that you being safer with your currency and you're handing somebody a $10 bill and you know it's a $10 bill because of the way you've folded it and when you hand it to them, you say, here, this is what I'm doing here. But if you're gonna use your credit card or your debit card and you're gonna swipe and you're gonna try and use this little machine, what I usually do is I have the cashier do it, and I'll say, can you swipe this for me? Now, it's not because I don't trust my friends or anything like that, but it's a transaction between me and the cashier. And so I have some very close friends, of course, that I will allow to do that, and I will hand them the card and say, here you go, you know, you're kind of me for a day. But even then, you've got to really be mindful of what's happening. And you and Barb, you and I talked about sometimes the cashiers are asking for information out loud in front of everybody else that's in the line. Simple questions like, can I have your email? Right. No, thank you.
Yep.
What's your zip code? You know, mm-hmm. No thanks. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to say that. Would you say that? Would you like, what was the other one about the donation?
Oh, when you go, I guess any grocery stores, even pet stores too, would you like, the cashier ask you, or even the black square box with the buttons on the screen to ask you if you want to donate money to a charity related to that store. Uh-huh. And you have every right to say no. Mm-hmm. Because if you do, Sharon, what would happen?
Well, that's, who knows?
Yeah.
Because all right, a dollar's a dollar, mm-hmm. right? And it doesn't seem like very much. But now it has put you into the system. And so that meaning that wherever they've sent that dollar, now has your information about your email, you know, your location, you know, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So now you're going to get more emails and correspondence from these charitable, mm-hmm. you know, corporations or whatever, which, okay, fine. If you are okay with it, mind that that stuff's going out there, that's cool. That's your information. And you have the option of sharing that with the World Wide Web if you want. And when I say the World Wide Web, I mean the whole globe, the whole Earth. Everyone would have access to that, conceivably. So I guess the bottom line is just be really mindful of that. Really make sure that you know that. And when it's the holidays and it's really busy, you got to be even more careful and mindful of that.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you shared that information, because I didn't realize it, because I always fall for donating just an extra dollar, because it's a dollar. They said, I'm like, sure, you could add a dollar to
it's
my...
It's to the children's
yes,
fund.
Yes, okay. And not even thinking that my information is going, by doing that, well, you know, be shared with third-party stores and
you're sending more data to the other
stores and
you're sending more data to the other the other corporations, mm-hmm. the other companies that mm-hmm. are going to use it, of course.
Yes, and then the next day I open my email and there's 10 emails from places I haven't even
I need to I need to add something really mm-hmm. quick, because we're talking about being online and being on the computers and things like that. But I do want to tell you a little bit of a story about even what's happening on the phones, where I happen to be up north, like way up north, northern Michigan, talking with my son and his wife, and we were talking about a particular product. It was a bug repellent, because we're in the middle of the woods trying to figure out why we were being bombarded. But anyway, and so we're talking about this product that they had there, and I was specifically asking them, what is the name of that? And how much does it cost? And, that sort of thing. My daughter-in-law gets an ad on her phone for that particular product. So that's what I'm saying. It's there. Our privacy and our security has really been affected by what's happening, mm-hmm. nowadays in the terms of the high-tech stuff.
Yes, I totally agree, and it took us a while to decide. Well, actually, we didn't purchase our Echo. It was given as a gift mm-hmm. to my daughter, and we were sort of skeptical in using it, but the convenience, choose a convenience over your safety and security sometimes, but then there is also a price for it, like you've mentioned, Sharon, that somebody is listening in the privacy of your home or when you search online, mm-hmm. And that information gets passed over. It's shared.
Well, but that's your point.
Yeah.
You're going to choose a convenience. Your point.
Yeah.
You're going to choose a convenience. Mm-hmm. And you're aware of it, mm-hmm. And you're willing to do that, to have that convenience. But you still, even within those parameters, you have the choice as to how much you're going to be sharing mm-hmm. and what you're going to be sharing. Mm-hmm. So,
Okay. Well, now that we covered the home, mm-hmm. We covered shopping outside of the home, banking outside of the home. We can now touch base on, the workplace and also in the community, mm-hmm. still focusing on safety and security. Mm-hmm. So for, employees, staff members with low vision or no vision, what are the safety and security measures that they can do mm-hmm. In the workplace or know, what can employers do, companies do?
Well,
employers do, companies do.
Well, as a, and that's two-sided, right?
Yeah.
So if you're an employee, whether you're a volunteer or you're getting paid or whatever, and you're working in an organization or a corporation or a building or wherever, there's usually, well, I shouldn't say usually, there is a plan in place to keep people safe. There's also a plan in place if you need to exit the building for whatever reason, doesn't matter. And I've even recently here in the library, we had a little bit of a, like a trial run. And so that's just incorporated into the whole system. But for those of us who can't see very well, it's one thing to be told, okay, here's where you, here's the doorway that you go out to get out of the building. For us, I think it's also a good idea to actually practice it, take the route, learn the route. You're not looking for the same visual cues everyone else is. So you know I'm going to walk down to this hallway, and then I'm going to turn right, and then I'm going to, you know. So it's I think it's important to do that.
Yep, and I agree with that, too. And also for sighted people as well is to, and our library is a pretty big library, too, and there's a lot of exits.
Yes.
And so I, as I walk around the library to meet with somebody or to look for a book, I also am mindful of where those exits are. So in case of an emergency, I know where to go. So yes, so doing that on a, you know, routine basis, I think will help.
Yep.
In that area.
I think we even talked about even, well, I'm sorry, we are in, all right, here's my segue. So if you're an employee, well, I'm sorry, So if you're an employee in a grocery store, because I was going to start talking about, you know, just being in a store and knowing how to get out, you know. And listening for, like if you're in a store at a mall, listening for the mall sounds or listening for, or watching the lighting patterns on the ceiling of the store to see what the pattern is. If the lights are sort of going, you know, horizontally as you're walking in, you know that that's the position those lights have to be in when you're going back out. So the same would be, you know, whether you're working there or you're shopping there. So I kind of put the two together.
No, that was a great, I love segues, and you did it very well, because that's where I was going to. So
sort
I'm glad
smoothly.
That, yes, very smoothly. Okay, so that, I guess, is the end of a lot of stuff today about security and safety. And there's so much to think about.
Yes.
You know, in the home, online, in public, as well as in the workplace and in the community. When you're out and about, you know, shopping, walking outside too, there are a lot of safety stuff that you can do to protect yourself and people around you.
And some of it is familiarity, you know, with the surroundings. Some of it is the awareness of the surroundings. And then some of it is just being aware of what you are doing within those surroundings, especially in terms of, you know, when you're going out online into cyberspace or if you're, you know, just shopping and handling money and credit cards and debit cards and all that stuff.
So Sharon mentioned during our conversation before we started this recording that you just have to stay guarded. Be on guard. Whether it's at your home, behind the computer, using your smartphone to shop, or even in public and at the workplace. Just kind of be mindful and stay on guard.
Yep.
And so, all right, Sharon. So that was the end of our second
already
episode. I know.
We're done already.
I've had so much fun. Yet again. So
this is good.
Yes, it is. So our third episode. Do you want to talk a little bit more about what we're going to talk about next time?
Well, we are talking about transportation. What did we say about that?
We said, according to my notes, transportation, episode 3, finding safe and reliable transport when you are no longer driving for yourself.
That was pretty succinct, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When we thought that one up.
It was.
But it is true, and we're going to be talking about things. Oh, do you get safe, reliable transportation? Are you going to pay for it? Are you going to ask for volunteers? Are you going to, what's your goals? Where you want to go? So, for instance, for me, it has to be reliable transportation. Mm-hmm. That's the big one for me.
Yes, and there are a lot of options now.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is wonderful.
I love it.
Yes, it's great, and it gets a lot of our patrons in the library too.
Yes,
which I love. I love to see you guys in the library, and it makes me happy that you were able to find transportation.
Yep.
To get here. So that means a lot to us as well. All right, so I'm looking forward to that episode.
Yes,
and so from the Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. Mm-hmm. This is Barb Shippen.
Sharon.
And we will see you next time.
That's right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.